Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our NFL analyst from FS1, Marcellus Wiley. What's up, Marcellus?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're doing well. We're talking about Drew Brees last night and the impact on the game that he has had as a small quarterback to be able to put up these kind of numbers. I mean, did you see it coming when he came into the league, even back to when he was in San Diego, Drew Brees putting up these kind of numbers in his career?
No, I didn't see it coming. Blessed to be one of the guys that saw Drew Brees throw his first NFL pass, as he was a rookie when I was there as a free agent. And amazing that he has accomplished so much. And I think we all know the obstacles that he's faced, whether you can say it's the DNA and being under 6 foot, or it's him nearly tearing his shoulder off his body, or Phillip Rivers is in the building, or him not getting medically cleared in Miami, and him becoming who he is and what he means to New Orleans and to the game of football. Amazing. But I challenge all the evaluators, the draft combine experience and that process, and I challenge what do they really measure, because Drew Brees shouldn't be regarded as an overachiever. He should be respected as who he is as a talent, and we need to evaluate properly what a quarterback looks like, because we keep missing on the greatest ones. Think about it. Drew Brees, second rounder, too short. Tom Brady, sixth rounder, not athletic enough, not talented enough. Joe Montana, I could continue. And it's like our best ever at that position continuously get diminished from hello because of branding and what we think we should measure. So if anything, I think Drew Brees should be a testimony to what really matters in football, which is your will. It's a great game of skill. It's a greater game of will. And no one has a greater will than Drew Brees.
Marcellus, what do you make of Odell Beckham Jr.? What is a guy supposed to do with that contract under his belt? Is he supposed to just say, I kind of appreciate the fact where he's got the money, but he still cares and wants to speak out. But is a guy like that supposed to just be that supportive teammate and, hey, everything's okay, I'm getting paid? Or is he supposed to care enough to say, this is just not acceptable and let's get better? There's been a lot of goofy stuff going on the last couple of weeks. Their coach came out. What do you make of the situation with the Giants?
Yeah, Odell's in a tough place. He's stuck. And it's funny, he's stuck and he knows it, so he can't say exactly what he's stuck between. But here's the real. Odell wants to stay in New York. He wants to be a Giant. He loves the place. He loves his opportunities. He loves his branding. He loves that he has the richest football deal from Nike in history. He loves all that, and he loves to play the game of football. But, boy, is he tired of playing with Eli Manning and how bad he is at quarterback. And he had a front row seat to watch and witness last year when they finally benched Eli Manning for football reasons, the reaction, the criticism, and how they had to walk that back and say, oh, we're going to start him again. And I think Odell is thinking, I don't want to say anything blatantly obvious and direct about Eli Manning and that protected legacy, two-time Super Bowl MVP. But damn it, enough's enough. And he is tired of these balls being overthrown, underthrown, not thrown. And it's starting to affect him because he knows he can be an all-time great if you give me anything to work with at quarterback.
Well, by extension, you know, he's basically calling out his front office as well and saying, why did you draft Barkley second overall? Like, why didn't you give me a quarterback? And he's kind of advocating for Ben McAdoo a year ago, who was a disaster all in all as a coach. But McAdoo was watching the tape. He's like, Eli can't play. That's why he sat him. And everyone freaked out in New York. And then he was forced to put him back in because the owner freaked out. But Eli can't play anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's crazy because in a loose way, this is the whole Kaepernick argument with different variables. Football's never been about the 11 best are on the team, the 11 best are on the starting unit playing. It's always this mixture of talent, production, but business, political, social, marketing. Like, it's these weird variables that come into play every now and then. And yeah, Odell's disgusted because after year three, he was the best receiver we've seen in history by the numbers. But now going into year five and playing this through, he's starting to fall off that pace, and he realizes it. So you're right, the overreaction to protecting the guy and making sure that Eli is protected because of what he did years ago is part of what the problem is right now. And Odell's trying to point the finger at everyone possible without directly pointing it at Eli, because he knows what happens when you do that. You get your hand cut off. So it's a different existence for Odell right now, and he's trying his best to do the best, but it's starting to leak out that he's very frustrated.
With Marcellus Wiley, do you have an explanation as to why Lil Wayne was sitting beside him, though, during the interview? What was Wayne doing there?
You know, it's funny. The only explanation I got is the same where, you know, you watch these interviews. A lot of them, ESPN, respect the worldwide leader. Kenny Chesney, I know I've seen him a dozen times, if not more. Whereas there's Lil Wayne, who's done many of these interviews. You know, sometimes it's these big brands and these big artists who just decide, whether it could be an actor, it could be anybody, they're just there. And I don't know if they really add to the interview, but it just makes it look bigger, I guess, for the casual observer. But it's not the first time I've seen someone, like, hop their lane and all of a sudden, you know, Matthew McConaughey, who's in these commercials and, you know, Texas football and stuff of that nature. It's this weird optics that we do, but Lil Wayne there, not as surprising to me, but like you said, what was he doing there in the first place?
Does Jason Garrett have pictures of Jerry Jones doing weird things, or what's going on there? I kind of just said it at the beginning after week one. I'm like, who's under the gun? This guy might be under the gun. How is he still sticking around there?
You know, it's interesting. I'll take up for Jason Garrett, who's only had one losing season as a Cowboys coach, and this is eighth year.
It's ugly, though, Marcellus.
Say it again?
It's ugly, though, isn't it? I mean, what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, if you're with Jerry Jones, it's going to be, let's just say it's not going to be pretty. If ugly is the word, that's it. But Jerry is, you know, when I play for the Cowboys, Jerry's coming down in the fourth quarter. He's on the sidelines. Jerry's going to hold a press conference right in the tunnel. Like, Jerry's going to give you some ammunition, and it's going to seem as distraction. But Jason Garrett also is the coach that got him 12 wins, 13 wins, and a playoff win of late, at least. He's doing a little above average, but I will say this. The latest incident of him not going for it, he should have went for it. But this proves to me that Jason Garrett is not a puppet, that he has some power, because Jerry Jones immediately criticized the move, and then a couple of days later walked it back. And that's not like Jerry Jones to walk something back. You don't look at someone who's powerless, who you call, the world calls a puppet, and then all of a sudden say, I have to make sure that guy looks better, or walk something back. So there's a weird dynamic there. I certainly give everyone credit for saying that. But I think Jason Garrett, a little better for the job than getting credit for, and a little better at the job than getting credit for, despite all the changes and the turmoil that starts up top.
Always appreciate it. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, Marcellus.
All right. Take care, brothers.
There's Marcellus Wiley joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.